Let us pray. Great teacher, hold us in your hands these days and grant us wisdom. Amen. How many of you have seen the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? So, the Ark. The Ark was designed to carry the great tablets of the Ten Commandments. The Ark was also designed to carry the presence of God. There are very specific instructions that were given in the building of the Ark. They came to Moses, and Moses called to Bezalel and Oholiab. And they and every skillful one to whom the Lord had given skill and understanding to know how to do any work in the construction of sanctuary shall work in accordance with all the Lord commanded. And Moses called them and every skillful one, everyone whose heart was stirred to come to the work, and they received from Moses free will offerings that the Israelites had brought for doing work on this and the sanctuary. Bezalel made the ark of acacia wood. It was 2.5 cubits long. Don't ask me how long is a cubit, because I actually don't know. 1.5 cubits wide and 1.5 cubits high. He overlaid it with pure gold, inside and outside, and made a molding of gold around it. He cast for it 4 rings of gold for its 4 feet, 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on its other side. And he made poles of acacia wood and overlaid them with gold and put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark to carry the ark. He made a mercy seat or a cover of pure gold. 2.5 cubits was its length and 1.5 cubits was its width. He made 2 cherubim of hammered gold at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. He made them, 1 cherub at one end and 1 cherub at the other end, of 1 piece with the cover. The cherubim spread out their wings above, overshadowing the mercy seat. They faced one another. The faces of the cherubim were turned toward the mercy seat. When the Ark of the Covenant was finished, the Israelites placed the stone tablets with the words of the law inside it. Then the Israelites made tables and lamps and incense stands of gold. They made a great tent of rich cloth to be the tabernacle and surrounded the tent with poles and hangings to make a court for the tabernacle. And when Moses and Bezalel and all the people had finished making the tabernacle and the court, they placed the Ark of the Covenant inside it. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, the Israelites would set out on each stage of their journey, carrying the ark. But if the cloud was not taken up, they did not set out until the day it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day and the fire in the cloud by night, before the eyes of all the house of Israel at every stage of their journey. Those are the words of Scripture. The ark was more than a symbol. The ark carried the indwelling presence of God with the people, and everywhere it was set down was sacred to God. It wasn't just something to hold the law, the tablets. It was protection against the enemies of the Israelites and cleared the roads in the wilderness for them. Tradition says that 2 sparks came out from between the 2 cherubim and that those sparks killed all serpents and scorpions, burned the thorns, the smoke of which, as it curled upward, sent a sweet fragrance throughout the world and all the nations of the earth. The ark was the power and the might of the Israelites, and the enemies of Israel often tried to capture it. While Saul was king, the Philistines captured it in battle and took it away and held it for a long time. It was said, however, that it brought misfortune to any camp or city where it was taken. And in a mighty battle, King Saul and his son Jonathan risked their lives to recapture it and bring it back. And it was kept at a place called Kirjath-Jearim to keep it safe. At the beginning of his reign, David brought the ark from Kirjath-Jearim. And when he did that, all the people went with him and followed rejoicing. But on the way, Uzzah, one of the drivers of the cart, stretched out his hand to steady the ark. And the Bible says that he was struck by lightning and he died. And not surprisingly, people became fearful. And David had the ark carried aside to the house of Obed-Edom instead of carrying it onward. And there it stayed for 3 months. But when they heard that that place had been blessed by the presence of the ark and prospered, David went and got the ark and brought it to Zion. And he went before it dancing. And it says that he was girded with a linen ephod, meaning that he had stripped down to almost nothing, and danced before the Lord with all his might. And his wife, Michal, seeing him dancing almost naked before the ark, was not happy. And she told him off for it later, saying that the only reason he'd done it was to show off before the young women. That was the end of their relationship. David never darkened her doorway again. In King Solomon's time, when the great temple was built in Jerusalem, the ark was taken there. It was kept in the Holy of Holies for almost 500 years. And then the forces of Babylon came. They conquered Judah. They tore apart Jerusalem. They marched the people into exile. And they destroyed the temple, stone by stone. And the Ark of the Covenant disappeared. Some believe it was taken to Babylon. Others that it was hidden beneath the temple and is there still. Other legends say it was taken far into the desert and is still hidden and will come forward in the last days. No one knows, not even the writers of the Raiders of the Lost Ark. But you can hear from those stories why people think of the Ark as perhaps something more, that sparks fly and lightning comes. There is another legend, though, that sprang from the prophecies of Jeremiah, that there would be a time when the ark was not needed, that the people would become the carriers of the law, writing the law on their hearts and teaching it in the morning and the evening, that the indwelling presence of God would not reside in an ark, but in the land and its people. Christians believe that we are one of the branches of the tree of Jesse, the tree of life, that both Jews and Christians are carriers of the law, writing it on our hearts and carrying it in our souls, that we should teach it in the morning when we rise and at nightfall when we go to sleep, that we should teach it to our children and our children's children and to their children also, so that everyone should know of the message of God, that God dwells in the land and in its people, that God is our God and we are God's people, that God calls each and every one of us to both knowledge and wisdom and provides it when needed. This is our call. Amen.